Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. Today, we're talking about the myth of the 50-50 marriage. How about that? I like that title.
I like it too.
That's I like little things that sound kind of polarizing. Like people are automatically saying, no, marriages should be 50-50. Well, I get it. I get it. There's some truth to that, and we'll get to that at the end. But, you know, in reality, the best marriages are not 50-50.
Yeah.
They're 100-100.
Let's get into it.
Okay, but before we do, I have a song for you. And this is special for you, Tor.
Okay.
I mean, not really, but, you know, still. I fell in love with this music back when I was in high school, and I didn't really admit it to a lot of people, but I gladly admit it now. I think she's the greatest female vocalist of all time. I think she's actually better than Whitney Houston, but, you know, that is up for debate. Celine Dion.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
I'm not even going to tell you what song it is because everybody probably already knows. Ready? Here we go.
For all those times you stood by
right?
me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong.
Okay, so that's it.
You're everything I am because, what is the name of it?
Because you love me.
Yeah, because you love me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is like a straight up throwback to the 90s song.
Definitely 90s.
Yeah, it's 90s for sure. So I like that one.
That was a good one, babe. Great like choice on this beautiful April spring.
Tori lets me lead the charge on picking the song. I let her lead the charge on the recipe at the end.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, but you're pretty good at picking songs. I'm just not really good on the recipe.
I was going to say, I don't know. I feel offended a little bit because I feel like I come up with some songs too.
You do. Okay, let's dive into this because we're talking about the myth of the 50-50 marriage. The best marriages are not 50-50, they're 100-100. Okay, so now let's talk about what in the world are we talking about? What is a 100 marriage? Mm. Okay, so we're going to look at some differences between a 50-50 partner and a 100-100 partner. But before we get to that, let's define what a 100-100 marriage is. What we're talking about is a mindset.
Yeah.
And that mindset is one in which both partners recognize they're on a team. And they've got to give their 100% best effort to help the team win. So good. In a 100-100 marriage, you are both looking for ways to support the team.
Right.
Like that is 100% what you're doing. And now you got to understand there are seasons in marriage. Mm-hmm. So there are seasons when you can give more than you can at other seasons. I mean, we all know what that's like. Yeah. And we're going to talk about roles and responsibilities later on. We're going to hit that. But what we're talking about is you need to recognize there are seasons in marriage where you can give a little bit more than your spouse at that time. Mm-hmm. For certain things, you know, and I think about this year, an example of this, not in our marriage, but at Trey's basketball team, yeah. High Point University, one of their best players, their best scorer, Duke Miles, got hurt.
Right.
And for three games, he had to sit out. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, he was not able to really help the team win, but he did a really good job on the bench. He was cheering for guys. He was doing all sorts of things. So in that moment, Duke wasn't able to pull his weight on the court, mm-hmm. but he pulled his weight off the court. So he did a lot more cheering for the guys. He did a lot more rebounding for the guys
right.
because he was hurt.
And so that's what you're talking about when you're saying 100%. It doesn't always look the same in every season. So the beginning of the basketball season, it looked very different for Duke Miles, what his value was to the team, right? Or even his effort was to the team. But then he was injured, and so he had to take a step back. He had mm-hmm. to change his role on the team.
Yep.
And to some, it could have looked as if, you know,
He's not doing enough.
But he was still giving 100% of what he could give at the end of the season, just as he did at the beginning of the season. It just looked different because of the circumstance.
Yeah.
For him, it was an injury.
Yep.
And it's the same in our relationship. I think we have to look at it that way, that there are different seasons where we can give different amounts of effort. I know when, you know, I was pregnant or having a newborn baby and nursing, you know, around the clock, I was giving 100% of what I could give, but it didn't look the same as what it looks like right now, obviously, right? It looks very different.
Uh-huh.
But the mindset was do what you can do.
Yeah. Now, here's a quick note. Friendships can be and should be 50-50, but not marriages. Because marriages are based on a covenant. A covenant says, hey, I'm going to give you my all no matter what you do. Like, that's why marriage vows say in sickness or in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do we part. Like, that's a covenant. Like, if both spouses come into it, the marriage in that type of mindset, a covenant is I'm going to give 100% even when you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is a reality to the fact that what do you do when your spouse isn't carrying their weight? And we're going to get to that in just a second. So for those of you who are like, this is bull, this is crap.
Stick with us.
I get it. Totally get it. I'm just going to one side right now. Okay. So the idea is in your marriage, you want to give 100%. And you already know that, right? But the idea of a 50-50, like you do this, I do that, that mindset is going to kill you.
It doesn't work.
It's going to rock your relationship.
This penny pinching, you know,
bean counting
mindset in marriage, it just simply will not work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on a team. You look at all sports teams, you look at any of the greatest teams, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, you think Jesus was telling the disciples and he said something, oh man, I should have had this ready, but he said something to one of the disciples and he's like, I think it was Peter, I'm going to need you to do this. And then James or John is like, well, what about him? What about this guy? And Jesus is like, if I want him to live forever, what's that matter to you?
Yeah.
You do your job.
Yeah, he dismantled that mindset pretty quickly.
That's exactly right. So now in friendships, it's a little bit different because in friendships, if your friends aren't carrying weight or if your friends aren't pursuing relationship with you or if they're distancing, then yeah, I mean, you got to respect that.
Right.
So we're saying respect boundaries and friendships and all that kind of stuff. In marriage, we're talking about jumping in 100% and giving 100% effort and having that mindset, okay, based on covenant. Now, let me give you a couple differences between the two mindsets, a 50-50 mindset and a 100-100 mindset. Okay, so a 50-50 partner, somebody who's thinking about the 50-50 mindset, they focus on what their spouse is not doing. A 100-100 partner focuses on what they can be doing.
Mm.
Okay, so the focus is, the first one is focusing on what that the other spouse isn't doing.
Right.
And the 100-100 mindset is focusing on what they can be doing.
Yeah.
So here's what I can be doing. I'm going to do it for my spouse. Okay. A 50-50 partner keeps score. Mm-hmm. A 100-100 partner tries to score.
I love that one. Yeah. I think that's such a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
You're looking to score. Be on the offense.
Yeah. Who would you rather be when it comes to a game? Because you are on a team with your spouse and you need to play to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, who would you rather be in the game? A scorer or the scorekeeper?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the scorekeeper is the 50-50 mindset.
Yeah.
The scorer is the 100-100 mindset.
Yeah.
So the 50-50 mindset is the referee. The 100-100 mindset is the player.
Yeah, that's so good.
Get in the game.
That just jogged my memory. I remember having a conversation with a friend years ago, and we were talking about marriage and just, you know, I think we were all just talking about like, what's the biggest takeaway you could give? And I remember her saying, always try to outgive each other.
Yeah, that's perfect.
If you live with that mindset of outgiving, she said, the love that you build and the respect that you build with that mindset is just incredible. And she was just, I remember her telling me, like, me and my husband are in a season of just trying to outgive each other, and it has grown our relationship so strong.
That's really good. Now, somebody with a 50-50 mindset would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, he did this, and so I get this. Okay, I mean, there is some truth to that. We're going to get to that in a second. But the mindset is gross and it's ugly and it makes you a scorekeeper rather than a scorer. You need to score. You need to score points for your marriage and score points with your spouse. So stop scorekeeping. Okay. One more difference. A 50-50 partner tends to drift to the negative, whereas a 100-100 partner tends to drift toward the positive.
So, so true. So good. It's because it's so important that you are calling out and looking for the good in your spouse, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is something that I feel like you are very good at. You're really good at telling it, at complimenting and praising the things that I do, which makes me feel valued. It makes me feel like energized to keep going, right? And I think that when you communicate value to me for the things that I do,
yeah,
it just energizes me to keep going, bottom line.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we can get caught in, you know, in the rut of scorekeeping, mm-hmm. where you're always like, I did this, so you need to do this, and I'm doing more of this, right? And instead of being like, I value your role, I value the things that you do.
Yeah.
And you're calling that out of them, which could, because I'll tell you what the most depleting and unenergizing thing to do is to feel like somebody's nagging on you for what you're not doing right.
And keeping score.
That, I mean, it's is just depleting.
It's terrible. You know, the next time you compliment me like that, you could play footsies with me, and then we can just stop this podcast altogether.
Oh, jeez. Okay, you know what? I should not to like try to bring you down a notch or anything like that.
But you're gonna.
But I will say that this is something that has been learned. It's not something that was always natural to you, because you
stink.
You used to be the worst. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I do, you know, you are a one on the Enneagram in that you see, you do tend to see what needs to be fixed.
Right.
Right. And so that is your natural bent, is to see, hey, let's get a little bit better at this. Let's keep the house a little more clean, or let's keep the order, right? All those little things, like, you see them more than the average person as a perfectionist, as somebody whose mind is more on, you know, how can we make everything the best that it can be, right? But you have practiced and learned the value of speaking life over me. And I think that probably you just learned over time that didn't do anything. That wasn't working. Like, it wasn't getting the house cleaner. It was making me more overwhelmed and, you know, feeling guilty and all these things, right? You knew
that's not going to get me what I want.
Yeah. It wasn't getting you exactly. It wasn't getting you at all what you wanted. And so I think that this is something that you learned over time, and you've now experienced the reward of that behavior in the way that I'm responding.
Yeah. Men, your wives are a rewarder of good behavior. So there you go. Okay. Now, if you are like, okay, I want to be a 100-100 partner, but what happens when my spouse is not carrying their weight? Mm-hmm. 'Cause now we have to jump into the reality of this. So Tori and I just talked about a mindset. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we want you to have a mindset, 100-100. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset. But then reality hits, and sometimes your spouse might not be totally carrying their weight. Okay. Yeah. You're on a team, and there are sometimes when a team member mm-hmm. is not doing what they should do. They failed in their job. Okay. We're going to give you three keys. Here are the three keys: relate, remind, revisit. Mm. Relate, remind, revisit. What do we mean? Relate to your spouse the problem. So tell your spouse what the issue is. Remind your spouse that you're on a team.
Yeah.
That you're doing this thing together, and revisit roles and responsibilities.
Mm. That's really good.
So let's look through this one at a time. Okay. Let's go back to number one: relate the problem to your spouse. So you need to be able to tell them what's going on.
Right.
Okay. You're both living 100-100, but you know, the one spouse maybe isn't doing the thing, mm-hmm. whatever the thing is that they're supposed to do, that they've agreed to do. 'Cause we've talked about roles and responsibilities, and we'll visit that for point number three, but you need to be able to bring up the fact that you're seeing something that needs to be addressed. Okay. You have to be able to give each other feedback.
Right.
Modern psychiatry says that those who are not open to feedback, they have a character disorder. Mm. Isn't that crazy? So you have to be open to feedback from your spouse. And I just got to give some props to a couple that we're coaching, Dan and Jess Smith. And the other day on our coaching call, Dan said that they had a really good time of connection with each other in the previous week, because he said he had seen something that his wife had done or said or didn't do. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said, I was able to bring it up to her and she received it. And she changed something and it actually helped her. And then I said, well, Jess, how did you handle that whenever he brought it up? And she said, well, I mean, I really want to do better. I want to do right. And it's not comfortable to hear that, but I knew that it would ultimately help me. So I just thanked him for it. And I since fixed it and I feel way better. And I'm like, that right there. Mm. In conflict, two things always manifest: the issue itself and the ability of the person to handle the issue.
So good.
Jess's ability to handle the fact that her husband just gave her feedback on something that he knows would help her as a wife and a mom.
Totally. Yep.
Wow, that's strong.
That's, yeah, we were like, Jess, that is baller
status. That was baller. I
mean, that's not easy to do, especially at the season of life that she's in. She has three little ones under the age of three. I mean, they're little.
Crazy. Dan, leave her alone. give her a little break.
And just her humility and her ability to be able to stand outside of herself and be like, okay, you know what? I want what Dan wants, which is ultimate connection with each other. And so if this is a way that we could get there, then I can work on this. I can do this. And it was just such a humble approach.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of her because that's just, I honestly don't know that I would have responded that way at that season of life with the exhaustion that I felt and just the overwhelm. Yeah. So super.
Well, props to Dan because he brought it up in the right way. And we teach that in our book.
Yeah, that's another thing that I was going to mention is she said that he had been doing a really good job of complimenting and encouraging her with the things that she was doing throughout the week, the things she was doing right. He was speaking them. He was, you know, telling her, wow, and acknowledging the simplest things that she did as a mom. He was acknowledging those things and she felt value in the little things that she was doing because her husband was placing value on those things by just saying it. Mm. Like you don't realize how powerful your words are. Your words give value to truth. And if I feel like if we could just understand the value of our words over our spouse, it would change our relationship so much. And so we saw that firsthand with them, that there was just like Dan placing value on the little things that she did with his words. It was life-changing to her. It was energizing to her.
Mm. Yeah. And you know, we talk about the right way, the three-step process on how to bring stuff up to your spouse when it's difficult.
Yeah. Years ago, we came across this four-part exercise to dealing with conflict. And I think it's really helpful. It's very simple too. You could put it in your notes in your phone. I have it in my notes so that I can pull it up, you know, just whenever I need it with you, babe.
Thank you.
It goes like this. I feel blank. So this is four parts. Number one, I feel blank because blank. I can do blank. I hope you can do blank. So you've got four blanks. I feel blank because blank. I can do blank. I hope you can do blank.
That's a lot of blanks.
It's a lot. when you put the blanks in there.
I feel distant from you, or I feel taken advantage of, which that might not be the best phrase.
But. Or I feel overwhelmed because I'm carrying a larger load right now. You know,
I can keep making dinner, but I can't also
clean up.
Yes, like you gotta help.
I can make the dinner. I hope you can clean up the dinner, right?
Yeah. Help me clean up.
You're out meetings four nights a week. I'm completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I can do three nights a week.
Yeah.
Can you pick up one more night a week? Right. Like you're just like, this is getting overwhelming to me. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
And you start with, I feel, because you're not going at it in a labeling way. You are this, right? You're not. Yeah. You're not putting an identity. You're a jerk. You are, you know, not helpful or whatever it is. You're not putting that on to your spouse. You're saying, I feel, which is taking some responsibility for that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, part of it might be because I'm up nursing all night long. Part of it may be because I've been sick the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm taking some responsibility for my feelings when I say I feel.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. I love that. Okay. So that's point one. Right there. So when your spouse is not carrying their weight and you know that they can and should, then the first thing is to relate. It's relate the problem to your spouse. Okay. Number two, remind. It's remind your spouse that you're a team. Okay. What is this? It's like telling them, hey, we're in this together. We're doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when my kids were younger and they get in trouble or whatever, I would typically hear Tori say something like, why don't you deal with your son? Reminding me that he's
like
not
you
just
again.
Yours, he's mine, he's yours. Like we are a team.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do whatever it takes to make sure that your spouse knows that you guys are in this together.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to do that is to acknowledge what your spouse is doing.
Mm, exactly.
You know? that's where Dan did a good job with Jess. Acknowledge mm-hmm. what she's doing. Like, hey, you're doing a really good job. I saw this one little thing, you know, and this could help. So you got to acknowledge the things your spouse is doing.
Yeah.
And that makes sure that you guys are on a team.
And valuing what they're doing, right?
Like, yeah, that's
I think
true.
That if it's so important to value who your spouse is. I think about my parents when I think about this concept, because I remember a couple years ago, my dad was, my parents live right next door to us, so we do life with them. And my dad was on the back porch, and he was just like rolling laughing on the phone with somebody. And my mom was on the phone with me, and she was cooking dinner. Like, I could hear all the, you know, the pots and the pans, and she's busy, has me on speaker while she's making dinner. And I can hear dad in the background. I was actually on the front porch, so I could hear like dad on the phone. I could also hear dad, you know, mm-hmm. a couple yards over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is dad laughing at? And she's like, oh, he's on the phone with so-and-so. And I just remember she was doing all the, you know, all the work for the dinner. And
yeah.
And I don't know if I said, oh, does that drive you nuts? Something, you know, like me and my mom have an open relationship. We're like, I'm like, does that drive you nuts? He's just like on the phone while you're cooking dinner. and I just remember her saying, you know, dad is the most relational man that I have ever met. He keeps our relationships intact. He has so many great relationships with so many people. And I don't know anybody else that can just pick up a conversation with anybody and make them feel like everybody thinks that he's their best friend. And she just went on and on, starts bragging on my dad, how like just how relational he is. And I could just tell that she truly values that part of my dad so much. And it is so true, like so much of their life that they have right now is because my dad has this incredible way of valuing relationships.
Yeah.
And she values that in him. Therefore, she's not, you know, she's not bean counting on how many dinners she's made versus how many dinners he's made.
I think she's way ahead in that category.
But she values who he is in their relationship, and she she's able to see it for what it is. Like, she sees him as a teammate, and then she looks at their life and what they've accomplished, and she just values his role.
And I think one of the reasons why that's so incredibly important, because when you're reminding yourself, your spouse, that you're a team, right? So we've related the problem to our spouse. Now we're reminding them that we're a team. The reason why Tori's mom values Frank being such a people person is because they have a vision for their relationship.
Yeah.
They have a vision for their marriage, and good relationships with their family and community is a part of their vision.
Right.
Right. So because of that, Kristen, your mom, knows that, I'm going to be in here cooking dinner, mm-hmm. but I need him to manage those relationships.
100%.
He's better at it.
He's going to be calling every one of us kids. He's going to be checking in, and he's going to relay all the news from every one of us, all the grandkids. He will tell her, he will catch her up on every little detail of everything. And it really is a dream team, what they have going.
See, and Kristen's really good too with relationships, but you know, primarily she's like leaning on Frank to handle the relationships. So one of the things that I love doing, this is just so funny. And if you know Kristen Canador, you can do this, okay? Don't tell her I told you. Now I'm going to tell her about this podcast. She's going to listen to this. I call her in the middle of the day, like on a Tuesday at like 11:30. Mm-hmm. And she, because she's such a hard worker, she answers it. She's like, what's up?
Yeah.
And I know instantly, she's like, bottom line, I need to get back to work.
She's not in the middle of a work day. She's not going to sit and just chat nothing.
She's working her butt off. And then I'll be like, I just called
just
to talk.
Called to say hello.
I just called to see how you're. She's like,
what can I help you with?
What's up? So anyways, go ahead. There's a little hack. All right. So first, relate to your spouse the problem. Second, remind your spouse that you're a team. Okay. Remember, keep the vision out there. And then acknowledge and value what they already do bring. And then number three, this is really important. This is where you revisit. Mm. Revisit roles and responsibilities. Okay. Things might need to change.
Yeah.
Things might need to change. And this is why it's so important in step two, when you're reminding your spouse that you're a team, that you guys keep the vision out front. Mm. Because when you get to step three, things might need to change. I remember for Tori and I, when I was traveling so much. I mean, I still travel a lot, but now our kids are older. But I was traveling when our kids were younger, trying to build this business that David and I were building together. And I kept that vision out front and I kept telling Tori, I promise you, one day we're going to be able to work together. I'll work out of the home and all of this is going to be worth it. And she's like, please, dear God, let it be now. You're like, because it was very hard for Tori. And I feel bad, you know, in the first 10, 15 years of marriage, it was harder for you. But it was so
important that we kept that vision out in front of us, because there had to be some hope to look forward to. Like, okay, you're going to be gone for 3 days, but we're building something. We're moving towards something. Yeah. It's not going to be like this forever. And then of course we've talked about how important little, you know, things to look forward to, like that are tangible. Like, okay, at the end of this week, when you're gone, we're going on a long date, or we're going to, you know, or you're going to take the kids, I'm going to do this. Something to kind of look forward to when you're really pressing in hard.
Yeah. And so I remember keeping that vision out front. That was step two. But then, you know, in step three, sometimes you have to revisit roles and responsibilities where the seasons has changed. The season has changed.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, so now I need you to help me over here more now than what you were able to help me then. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, like, our morning routine is totally different than it used to. Tori used to be up, she'd make breakfast for the kids and then lunches and all sorts of stuff. And I was oftentimes doing meetings and whatever real early in the morning. But now I make lunches, you know, and I help out with a breakfast.
Yeah,
I can't say I do it every single day, but you most
do step
days.
In, you do step in and do it often.
But now I take that as my role. My new role is the lunch guy. I'm going to make sure that the Tori makes sure that the food that needs to be in the refrigerator is there. Right. But I make sure that food gets put into that little lunch bag that we have for Jake. Yeah, you know.
So things have changed for like, what, 17 years. That was my role and responsibility was to make the lunches and the breakfast and the lunches for the kids, get them off to school, you know, do the morning routine. And now Jason can do that. He can do some of the morning routine with the kids.
I just so remember that a lot of times Tori did the breakfasts and the lunch, you know, in the morning for the kids while I was reading my Bible. Cause it was the only time I could read my Bible, and it's like 6 a.m. And so here I am reading my Bible while Tori's doing all this work.
Yeah.
Right. And you never once said like, well, I'd love to be able to read my Bible. Won't you come help me with the lunches? Because you knew what we were working for.
Yeah.
And now it's, you have an opportunity to seriously, I'll be making lunch or whatever. And Tori will be up reading her Bible. And it's just so cool how it just switched. Mm-hmm. And so there may be times when you need to revisit your roles and responsibilities because one partner can't do what they used to do, or one partner can do what they did not used to do, which is like in our situation. So The whole key is for you to live with a mindset of 100-100. I'm not going to be a bean counter. I'm not going to be a scorekeeper. I'm going to be a scorer. I'm going to give 100%, period. And then if I am seeing something that needs to be discussed, I'm going to relate, remind, revisit. I'm going to relate to my spouse the problem. I'm going to remind them that we're on a team, and I'm going to revisit our roles and responsibilities. And when you do that, you can have yourself a 100-100 marriage.
Very well said. Good job, babe. Okay.
Thank you for that. We're going to share
a recipe from this week. This week, we're keeping it very simple, very, very simple. And I wanted to share, I think I made it 3 times this week because we just kind of stumbled upon it. And it's so good and it's so easy. Honestly, I was going to say a 3-year-old can make it. No, probably like a, I don't know, 10-year-old could totally throw this thing together.
Oh, there's... Like, no. It would be a little bit of an issue for me to throw this thing. I think I could do it.
Maybe I'm exaggerating the easiness maybe a little bit.
But most men, mature-wise, are way under their wives anyway.
This one's pretty simple. So all you're going to need, and it's healthy. We love Costco. That's like our go-to just because they have some really great options, especially lunch options for Jake, who he's a junior in high school, and that boy can eat.
If you want protein, there is really something special about Costco's massive bags of pre-cooked chicken.
Yes.
And all you got to do is put it in a frying pan just for a little bit. Oh, that's special.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless when you get it's called Fresh Additions Fire Grilled Fully Cooked Chicken Breast Bites. And they come in really small packages, which is amazing because once you open chicken, you have to eat it, right? Like if it's already cooked, you need to be eating it that day.
Do you know what else comes in small packages? Dynamite.
Squirrel.
Squirrel, sorry.
So anyways, this little, the little pouches come in 3.2 ounces of chicken, and each little packet has 24 grams of protein. So anyways, we pick up, how many do you think we go through? I don't even know. A lot of these packages, because you can make so many things out of them.
Yeah. Probably 20 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So anyways, if you grab those, otherwise you're just going to need chicken. You could use a rotisserie chicken. That would work great. Or you can just, you know, cook some chicken, but then you're going to need the Siete almond flour tortillas. They are so good. For two of them, there's only 20 carbs in two. So for one, there's only 10. Yeah. And so if you're...
Siete is seven. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seven almond... I mean, I don't think that's what...
See, I took habla española.
I don't think that has anything... I don't know. It's S-I-E-T-E.
That's siete.
Yeah, so it's called seven tortilla.
We're, you know, right now, if there's anybody that knows
maybe
Spanish,
there's seven ingredients.
Or they're something. Laughing at us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Sorry about that.
But anyways, these almond tortillas, they're so great. You get them in the refrigerated section of Costco. I think you can get them at most grocery stores as well, but they're in the refrigerated section. And then we use Tillamook shredded cheddar. And then we saute... or caramelize some onions. So you just chop up your onion and put it in, saute it in some butter, and there's a little bit of brown sugar or brown coconut sugar.
It's classic.
It is so good. Just a little sprinkle of brown coconut sugar. Oh, it's
here's
so
what
good.
I know. When you caramelize the onions, it does not give you onion breath.
That is true. That is true.
Right?
It really takes it down a notch.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you make chicken quesadillas. From these ingredients that I just shared with you. So you're going to take your siete almond flour, put a little butter at the bottom of the pan, and then you put your chicken, and then your caramelized onion, and then your Tillamook shredded cheddar, and then top it with another tortilla, and then you brown it, flip it. Oh my gosh.
Lots of butter on the frying pan.
Yeah, lots of butter.
If you do the butter, it makes a big
difference. Butter makes everything better.
Ooh.
Period.
So does bacon.
And then I like to dip it in sour cream. We also got some little ranch packets from our favorite Off the Grill. If you live in Concord, there's no better ranch dressing than Off the Grill.
Everything's rad with ranch.
Mm-hmm. You are on a roll tonight, babe.
Thank you.
Oh, no, it's
I'm a poet and don't know it, but my feet sure show it because they're Longfellows.
What? So anyways, you guys should try these chicken fajita. I would call them chicken fajita quesadillas. That's what I'm going to call them.
It's good. It's good.
Why it's fajitas? Unique. Because you got the caramelized onion.
Yeah. And if you don't know Spanish, you might call them fajitas.
And because, babe, you're just going off the rails.
Sorry.
And because, do you remember from Chili's? We used to buy.
I love those
always
things.
Get the chicken fajita quesadillas. Uh-huh.
Make them
and
extra
it's very,
crispy.
Very similar.
The ranch dressing at Chili's is banging.
Maybe that's what it reminds me of.
It is.
When we got that ranch, that's exactly what it was. It brought me back
to date nights.
Date nights at Chili's.
When we couldn't afford, you know, a whole lot.
But yeah. All right, guys. So try those fajitas. Tell us what you think. I will make a little reel so you can see us making them on Jason Tory. And we will see you guys again next week.
Fun hang. 100-100 marriage. You got it. You can do this.
See you guys.
Peace.